Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another day and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have begun a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we must first establish and understand who the Holy Spirit is. The first thing we need to discuss is the fact that the Holy Spirit is really a person, a divine person. He is on the same level as God the Father and Jesus Christ. And like God the Father and Jesus Christ, he is a distinct personality. Yet all three of these distinct individuals comprise of the one and the only true and living God. These three distinct personalities make up the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The term or the word Trinity is not in the Bible. So why do we use Trinity? We should use only what the Word of God says, and the Word of God uses the Godhead. The Godhead is the divine nature of God, his deity. please go to Genesis chapter 1. Again, that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Now, let's stop right there. We see right now in the Word of God that we, mankind, was made in God's image and according to his likeness. Now, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Again, that's Acts 17, verse 29. And it says, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." So we see here in these two scriptures, first of all, we, mankind, was made in the image and the likeness of God. And we are God's offsprings. And we are certainly not gold, silver, or stone. And we are certainly not something that man has made up in his imagination. Now, please go to John chapter 4. Again, John chapter 4, verse 24. And it says this. It says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen. So we see finally in John 4, 24, where it tells us that God is the Spirit. So if we are made in the image and likeness of God, if we are the offsprings of God, and the Word tells us that God is a spirit, then we are spirits. And so we are in the likeness and the image and his offsprings, and we are spirits. We are not made of gold, silver, or stone, but after the likeness of the Godhead, God's divine nature. In this teaching, we are dealing with the third person of the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, and his gifts, and the profit for all we, the body of Christ, can receive from coveting these gifts. Amen. Now, since you're there in the book of John, please go to chapter 14. Again, that's John chapter 14, verse 26. And it says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you." Now, it's interesting because we see here that the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So that's another name for the Holy Spirit. He is our helper here on earth. And it says that he will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. Now, those things that he will bring to our remembrance are those things that we have studied to show ourselves approved. Those are the things that he will bring back to our remembrance. He can't bring back anything that we have not studied to remember. Amen. The Holy Spirit teaches us and he witnesses to us about the things of God. Amen. Now, you're still there in John, so please go to John chapter 15. Again, John chapter 15, verse 26. And it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So we see here in both verses, in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15, we see the term helper. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is not going to do it for us. He's going to assist us in the assignment that God has given us. Amen. And he alone will testify of Jesus Christ. Amen. In both verses, Jesus used the word helper that describes another job, the Holy Spirit, to assist or help the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. So whenever he is around, and that is always, because the word tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us, because the word tells us he will never leave us or forsake us, will tell you only the truth. The Holy Spirit does never lie. If the Holy Spirit is involved in any lies, then it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a deception, and you have to be careful. Amen. If you around and you hear the lies, then it's only one other person, and that is the devil, because he is the father of lies. Now, open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Okay, let's stop right there. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." So apparently, we're getting ready to talk about spiritual gifts. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us he does not want us to be ignorant. So the Apostle Paul, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, tells us that he does not want us, the church, the body of Christ, to be ignorant. And that word ignorant means untaught, unlearned, or unqualified concerning the spiritual gifts. So that implies that he must want the church, the body of Christ, to be informed, knowledgeable, and learned regarding these spiritual gifts. This teaching is to lay the foundation, the groundwork for you to understand that there are spiritual gifts that are available to the church, the body of Christ, for the profit of all. Amen. These spiritual gifts are also known as the charismata. That's spelled C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A-T-A, charismata. And they are extraordinary power given by the Holy Spirit for, again, the profit of all, the body of Christ. Now, there is a great weakness in the church of Christ because of an awful ignorance concerning the Spirit of God and the gifts he has come to bring. God would want us to know his will concerning the power and the manifestation of his Spirit. He would have us ever so hungry to receive more and more of his Spirit. Amen. Remember, God tells us in his word, he says, if we come nigh to him, he will come nigh to us. So God wants us to have more and more and more of his Spirit. Amen. God wants the church, the body of Christ, to know and understand the spiritual gifts and to covet earnestly the best gifts, and also to enter into the more excellent way of the fruit of the Spirit. We must appeal to God for these gifts. Let me repeat that. We must appeal to God for these gifts. It is a serious matter to have the baptism and yet be stationary or just standing still, not doing anything with the Word of God or these gifts. To live 2 days in a row on the same spiritual level is a tragedy. That's right. If you do not improve day by day in your spiritual life, then it's a tragedy. You're not doing what you should be doing. We must be willing to receive the revelation of God's truth and to receive the fullness of the Spirit. There is a power, a blessing, an assurance, a rest in the presence of the Holy Spirit. With his power upon us, there can be no failure. Amen. I like that. With his power upon you, there can be no failure. You are always above all the time. You're never beneath. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth, not an individual. And Paul was telling the whole church to covet these gifts. Then as the whole body covers them, the Holy Spirit will divide to every man one at a time as he wills. It's not as we will, but it's as the Holy Spirit wills. And the Holy Spirit will assist us in doing so. Now, we've learned that there are three categories of gifts. Three categories of gifts. The simplest way to describe these nine gifts is that there are three of them that say something, three of them that do something, and three of them that reveal something. Let me repeat that. There are three categories of gifts, and there are nine gifts in all. Three of them say something, three of them do something, and three of them reveal something. The three that say something are the gifts of utterance. The gifts of utterance. They are the prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Again, it is prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. The three that do something are called the gifts of power, and they are the gift of faith or special faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Again, the gifts of power are the gift of faith, special faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. The three that reveal something are the gifts of revelation. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Again, the three gifts that reveal something or the gifts of revelation are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. All these gifts are important, and none should be taken lightly. But in terms of rank, there is an order of priority that should be noted. It's just like if you're in the service, whether it be the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, or the Navy, there are ranks. You have the general, the captain, the lieutenant, the sergeant, and the private. And so, but when you were to put them in order, you would put them in priority, and the general would be number one. Then you have the captain, then you have the lieutenant, then you have the sergeant and the private. Now, all these different ranks are important, but in terms of priority, you would put the general first. And so in terms of priority of the three gifts of utterance, the gift of prophecy is the best gift. Out of the three gifts of power, the gift of faith or special faith is the best gift. Of the three gifts of revelation, the gift of wisdom is the best gift. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to advocate that these gifts are more important than the other. They all are important, and we should understand that. But remember, the best gifts in any situation is the gift that is most needed at that particular time. So if we're dealing with the gifts of revelation and we know that the word of knowledge should be used at that time, then that's the best gift at that particular situation. You understand what I'm saying? All the gifts are important, but we just want to make sure there's a priority and there's an order that the gifts should be recognized. Amen. And that said, let's begin by looking at the gifts of utterance. Those are the ones that say something. So we have the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. What is the meaning of prophecy? I believe if I was to ask my listening audience, we have several meanings of prophecy. So for the benefit of this class, prophecy, I'm going to give you a meaning that we're going to use. Prophecy is the supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Let me repeat that. Prophecy is the supernatural utterance of a known tongue. It means to foretell events divinely, to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to predict, to foretell something, to predict the future or a future event. Now, let me say something about prophecy, because there's a difference between prophecy in the Old Testament or the Old Dispensation and the New Dispensation that we're under now. Under the Old Dispensation, prophecy, the prophet foretold events or things that were going to happen. In the New Dispensation, or the ones that we, or the dispensation we under now, prophecy is used to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Amen? So those are the difference. It does not predict the future or of future events. The prophecy in the New Testament is strictly to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Amen. Now, the third property of the gifts of utterance is the diverse kinds of tongues. And it is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Repeat that. Diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. And then finally, the interpretations of tongues. The interpretations of tongues. And that is a supernatural showing forth of that which has been spoken in tongues. So if somebody speaks diverse kinds of tongues, and we know that is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue, when there should be somebody there to interpret that. Amen. So the people can have a prophet of prophet for what was spoken in the diverse kinds of tongues. Amen. Now, please go with me to the book of Corinthians, chapter 1. Corinthians, chapter 1, First Corinthians, chapter 12, excuse me. And Paul writes concerning the diversity of the gifts by the same Spirit. So verse number 10, go to 1 Corinthians 12:10. And it says, to another prophecy. Now, we're going to stop there because we're dealing with the gifts of prophecy. And I just wanted to let you know where Paul writes concerning the diversities of the gifts of the same by the same Spirit. And verse 10, it tells us, to another prophecy. Now, go to that same 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we see the importance of this gift, the gift of prophecy, where we are told in verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesize. Let me repeat that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Plus, remember, when you prophesy, you are exhorting, you are edifying, and you are comforting. Also, we see in verse 3 of that same chapter, chapter 14, it says, but he who prophesies speaketh edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Amen. We see it says what? It says is, it speaks edification, it speaks exhortation, and it speaks comfort to men. And that's what we want to do when we are using this particular gift, the gift of utterance, in terms of the gift of prophecy. We want to be able to edify, we want to be able to exhort, and we want to be able to comfort the body of Christ or anybody who needs that particular gift at that particular time. So, how much or how important it is it then that we should have this gift in manifestation in the church in order that the saints, the body of Christ, may be built up and made strong and receive the comfort of God. But with this and with all gifts, we should see that it is operated by the Spirit's power and brought forth in the unction of the Spirit, so that everyone who shall hear prophecy as it is brought forth by the Spirit of God shall know that it is God who brings forth that which is for the edification of those who hear. Amen. Prophecy is never a mind reflection. Let me repeat that. Prophecy is never a mind reflection. It is something more spiritual than that. It is a real lifting power and gives light on the truth of those who hear. By means of prophecy, we receive that which is the mind of the Lord. And as we receive these blessed, fresh utterance through the Spirit of the Lord, the whole assembly is lifted into the realm of the spiritual prophets for all. Well, you know what? I'm just about through for today. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you, and please join us next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.